Good Tuesday morning to you. It's 739 degrees on this Tuesday edition of Palmetto Mornings, your home for news, talk, and sports right here on WRHI FM 100.1. I'm Lucas McFadden.
And I'm Patty Mercer. Glad to have you with us on this kind of interesting day. It's like dreary out there, but now that we know that snow is possibly in the forecast later in the week, I'm like, could it change? Is it cold enough? It's exciting.
Well, our next guest loves the word snow. Sleet, freezing rain.
Mm.
We're talking
and school.
Yeah, we're talking about Dr. Bill Cook, the superintendent for the Rock Hill School District. And Dr. Cook, those words are just music to your ears, right?
Absolutely. Always exciting to hear about snow and possibly bad weather.
Yeah, what a school year it's been. I mean, so much transitioning, adapting, day to day. I mean, we have the opportunity to learn all the responsibilities. I mean, you were busy in 2019. 2020, man, you guys are like just doing that plus more, whatever it takes, and we appreciate it so much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that.
Well, today, Tuesday,
June.
Wish it was June, maybe. January the 5th, 2021, students in the Rock Hill School District will return back from winter break. Dr. Cook, kind of explain what that return back to school looks like for families listening.
Well, Happy New Year to all the listeners out there, and glad to be with you this morning. I did send a message to all of our parents last night, just reminding them that, you know, our schedule has not changed over the break. I know some may had thoughts that it would. But anyway, we're excited. Our buses are rolling this morning, and we are back virtually for those students and families who are participating virtually. And then certainly our face-to-face students are on the buses this morning. They're rolling. Remind parents, you know, that if there's information that the school needs to know, child is sick or has been sick over the holidays, we need to know that. So contact the school nurse and make sure that you get some good resources and information. But, you know, we're back into practicing disinfecting, making sure that our classrooms are safe, making sure that our shields have been installed and remain in place for students and staff. You know, our meals and meal schedules have been adjusted to meet the needs and make sure that we're socially distancing. All those things that we've been talking about, you know, since last April, you know, hand washing, social distancing, wearing our face mask. So the school district has done a lot of things to make sure that our students and staff, you know, have and are safe. So we're continuing on those. But, you know, we haven't seen these folks since December the 18th. So pretty excited to have them back in the buildings for those families that have made that choice to be with us and face to face. And then certainly our virtual students are doing an amazing job, as are our staff. But I do want to send shout outs to our staff. They came back yesterday. They had a professional development day and are working, you know, diligently to, you know, continue to work on our craft, as all professionals do. So they're ready for them, and it's going to be an exciting day. So we're there and ready.
Well, we've learned in so much detail what our schools have done behind the scenes to prepare as students return back to more than every other day to face-to-face instruction, 5 days. We've been given what you all discuss day in and day out. So if, with that being said, speak to the critics a little bit, if you can, that have always said, even since November, I think, when the Rock Hill School District decided to go back at the elementary school level for 5 days face-to-face, that said, we did this right after Thanksgiving. We're in the middle of what many in South Carolina are calling the second or third wave of cases. Why bring kids back to 5 days face-to-face instruction, especially at the elementary school level?
Well, I think that's a great point, Lucas, and a lot of people continue to ask that question, but I think, and hopefully our message continues to help clarify, we brought back our elementary students a little later than some of the other surrounding districts. We came back October 10th with our kindergarten through second grade, kind of staggered that, and then, you know, a little bit later with our third through fifth, and then we still continued the 8-day, B-day schedule with our middle school and high school. And middle school and high school have about 5 to 7 transitions per day. And so at the elementary level, where you're keeping that family unit intact and there's not as much travel, you know, we feel like that we can contain that. We've not experienced a lot of, you know, excluding students and staff, you know, at the elementary level. We did have a good bit right before the holiday. with middle school and high school. So middle school and high school continues to be on the AWB day schedule, and we are continuing that through second semester. Our second semester will start February 8th. So we'll see, and we'll be looking very closely and carefully at our numbers for this month to see what we'll do about middle school and high school. We made that decision, like the other surrounding districts, to come back this week with our students. I think Clover and Fort Mill doing e-learning day yesterday and today. Ours are, back on a regular schedule. But, the numbers in our community continue to go up, as they do at the state and national level. But our numbers, we have looked daily, carefully, at each school, each classroom, each grade level, each team at the middle school and high school level with sports, and examine that information. And our numbers do not compare to that. So we really feel like that being in school is less risky and more safe, and our numbers are continuing to do that. But we are certainly continuing to look at all the information that we have available. So I understand that there's that concern, but I continue to emphasize that we are looking at it as a team of individuals. Our lead nurses is in those discussions, and we're looking at it as carefully and closely by school. And something that districts haven't done in the past that we are doing now is we are looking at individual classrooms, individual schools, and so decisions are made more closely to the classroom and to each student, each teacher, than they ever have before. So, good and different to that. So
I think that's great. I mean, you are writing the script as you go.
Absolutely.
And reading the road signs, paying attention. There's never a perfect time when you're, dealing with a pandemic. I think my concern, I heard just this morning that in the state of North Carolina, between 10 to 15,000 students are unaccounted for. Like they somehow fell between the virtual learning and being back face to face on a modified schedule. How are we doing here, within our district?
Absolutely. And, I think all states, all districts have experienced some of that. Typically, we are able and better able to, I think, track that where students are. But we did have a lot of transition and movement back in the spring. Families, students moved back to where, they may have other families. They may have moved back to their original home country. So a lot of movement and trying to keep up with that, because there could have been multiple times and multiple places they would have stopped along the way. So we have our district graduation coaches that work with our high school students. We have some of our outreach coordinators who are working with our elementary and middle school. So we are continuing, when a student moves, there is a process that we have in place to try and make sure. And sometimes we're having to use social media to track families, and so we're using all the tools that we know to do. But we really appreciate families when they let us know where they're going. And, when they enroll in another place, generally that's a good contact and communication to do. But we want to know where every student is all the time, and that has become increasingly difficult with virtual education. But again, we feel like that we're continuing to improve and get better at it. So.
Dr. Bill Cook is superintendent for the Rock Hill School District. You've got some new blood on the school board, and as a new year is upon us, talk a little bit about maybe what we can see over the next 6 months, hopefully to get us through the rest of this school year.
Well, I think anyone who watches our school board meetings online knows that there's a lot of information, a lot of decisions that the board is having to make. We've had great leadership at the board in the past since I've been in the district in 2016, I guess, and certainly more recently as superintendent. But with the new board, they are faced with some decisions of some things that were carryovers from the previous year or two, where we had our master plan of facilities. So you may recall that the district was faced with going and proposing a bond referendum after looking at a 10-year master plan of facilities. So with having some reduced numbers in classrooms, having about 40% of our students go virtually, the utilization and the resources we're having to examine a little bit more carefully. So we're looking at that. Very exciting that we're continuing to look at our academic programming and emphasizing our choice programs, and also making sure that parents have options. And so those are some of the things. We'll be, talking with our board about how we continue to increase and recruit the very best teachers and retain the very best teachers. That is important. That is one of their goals for me as superintendent. So this month, in our next two meetings, we'll be talking a little bit bit more about that for this year, and then certainly how we continue to do that. So a lot of activities that they're faced with, a lot of decisions, but they're a great board, and they're, you know, finding their way of working together. And what I do know about each one of them is that their heart's in the right place, and they do are doing this because of children. So good leadership.
I like how you included the word options, because, you know, everyone learns differently. Everybody's coming from a different place. And that made me think about, students that learn differently, special abled students, and those that, you know, for example, on the autism spectrum, just the importance of interaction every day, being able to see the mouth, to touch and feel, the occupational therapy. How have you modified that to meet the needs of those students?
Patty, that's a great question. And I think that's something that we, you know, we'll never be perfect at. We have to work at it each and every day, have been. But, you know, this pandemic has brought together to a crossroads of a health issue and an international health pandemic, along with the need to educate children. And children need to be, you know, with great teachers, and they need to be there mentally, physically, emotionally, and socially. And that's some of the, you know, the controversy, that we have to discuss. And especially for students who have additional needs, what we have done, especially this year in the pandemic, is we have brought back those students, and we have invited those students, their families, to come back face to face sooner than they might would have on the alternate A day B day schedule. We have our special staff, our exceptional staff, who are working closely, even continuing those services at home virtually. So whether you're virtual or face-to-face, you are still continuing to receive those services that you need. And then in the smaller classrooms, we feel like that we, you know, students who need that, we continue to offer those. We have special programs for students who have extreme disabilities and needs. And so continuing to try to personalize learning for each and every one of those students.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Absolutely. Appreciate your leadership, Dr. Bill Cook, with the superintendent for the Rock Hill School District.